So let's begin. Today I would like to discuss with you a topic from the Daf Hayomi. Okay, Daf Hayomi, Daf Yomi is Masech Tainis. Today is Daf Tes Zayin or Yud Zayin. What's today? Tezvav. Today is Daf Tezvav. Today is Tezvav. Okay, so I'd like to discuss. I really like to discuss two short topics that come right out of the Daf Hayomi. First, the Mishnah on today's Daf says, Seder Taniyos Ketzad. What is the order of the Taniyos? Motzines Ateva L'Ruchav Shalir. They take out the Teva to L'Ruchav Shalir. V'noisnin Efer Mikle Algade HaTeva. They apply Efer Mikle. What's Efer Mikle? Translation of Efer Mikle? Ash. Efer is ash, Mikle is burnt. The two words seemingly mean, they mean the same thing. Okay, Efer Mikle means Efer Mamish. Rashi says Efer Mikle, Efer Mamish. The repetition, Mikle means burnt. And Efer means burnt. The reason why we repeat the word twice is to indicate, Rashi says, Efer Mamish. V'lo Ofar. Not with an ayin, earth. Because sometimes, in this week's parish as well, I think it's interchanged. Sometimes earth is spelled with an aleph. Afer, aleph, peresh, normally means ash. Ofar, with an ayin, means earth. But sometimes, it means dust. But sometimes the two are interchanged. Sometimes we refer to dust with an aleph. Okay, I think in this week's parsha we have an example, the way around. Therefore Rashi explains the reason why the Mishnah said Efer Mikle, Efer with an aleph, and then it says Mikle, is to make it clear as day that what is put on top of the aron is ash. Don't be a lamdan and say b'diyevu could be yotze by taking some dust. By taking some dust from the street and putting it on top of the aron. You have to use the real thing. The real ash. Efer mikle, efer mamish. V'loy ofar. Not ofar with an ayin. Avram is v'yonochi ofar v'efer. Ofar is with an ayin, efer is with an aleph. Ofar v'efer. So here, Rashi, that's why it says these two to go together. Okay, so now we go. Then he goes on. Rashi goes on to explain over here. He brings different riots where these two words are interchangeable. Sometimes it's aleph with an ayin, ayin with an aleph. In order not to make any mistake, wherefore it says here in the Mishnah, efer mikle means real ash. Then Rashi includes v'efer mikle ginai yoiser may offer stam. It's a much greater ginai. It'll make a much greater impression upon the people when they see that ash is being put upon the Aron Kodesh. And the Mishnah goes on to say, not only will they put ash in the Aron Kodesh, they'll put ash upon the Nasi, upon the Gedolei Hadar. The leaders of the people also, they would be humiliated, so to speak. The Gemara says, by putting ash upon their head. Okay, the Gemara. Chosin, that's for tefillin, that's for mourning. Efer tachas pe'er, right? The efer mikle v'gnai yoyser may offer stam. And when forish my time, the Gemara explains why this was done. It was done in order to humiliate, in order to arouse the people. Now there's a Tosfos.
I read the reason that it's more humiliation if somebody else puts.
That's the Gemara says that they would put it was put upon them. They don't do it themselves. Ain't the Gemara says the first piece of Gemara. Ain't a doyme doing it yourself. There's someone doing it, being mavazi, putting the ash upon your head. Okay, that's what it says. The Mishnah Rashi explains it's ash, and now there's a Tosfos. Tosfos is the source of very great controversy. Tosfos has opened up a whole world in the halachic literature. Tosfos on the next staff says the neistim efer algabe the teva, and right away there's a star that says this Tosfos really belongs in the previous page. Tosfos says the also efer have me etzem adam, from the bones of a human being. You don't just take a piece of wood and burn it and produce ash and put the ash on top of the aron. You go out to the cemetery, you dig up a body, and you burn the body. Cremation. You burn the body, and from the dust of a human body, of human bone, you take that dust and you put that ash, and you put that ash on top of the aron, on top of the Gedolei Hadar. Wait a second. Let me read. The also aver having me etzem odom. It says here aleph dalid men shaharei hu ho aver have. Why? Why in the world would you take ash of a human being? So Taisus now adds new insight into the whole the reason why this is being done. Have the zikaron ho akeda. It was a zecher for the akeda. Who was offered as a sacrifice in the akeda? Yitzchak. If everything would have gone according to plan, Yitzchak would have been a pile of dust, pile of ash. And according to the Medrash, okay, the old Mefarshim get very carried away here. They claim, they won't even make, there are different Medrashim, conflicting Medrashim, that Yitzchak was indeed sacrificed, and he was indeed burnt to a crisp. He was indeed, he did to become ash. And then the Malach resurrected him, Tchiyah Sameisim, Tal Shal Tchiyah, brought Yitzchak back to life. Those are Midrashim, okay, I don't know, we don't go there. But if everything would have gone according to plan, Yitzchak would have been reduced to ash, okay, to toast. Therefore, as a zecher for the zuchus, the greatest zuchus that we can have on a time of tzara, is to remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu how Avraham was willing to sacrifice his own son, and therefore we have to use the ash of a human being and part of the procedure, part of the ceremony on a tiny sibar, has to be applied to the top of the Aron HaKodesh and on top of the heads of the Gedolei Yisrael. It was a human being. It was Yitzchak. He wouldn't turn into bone. So I want to use this. I want to use this as a topic of what does Halacha say about cremation? Al pi Halacha, we all know. We don't do such a thing. Al pi Halacha, there's something called Kever Yisrael. But why not? Why is there a prohibition? What's the source? What is it all about the end of cremation? Someone to bring a riot from this Tosfos that you see it's not unheard of. Where do they get? Where are you going to get the ash of human bones? So does it mean from a non-Jew? A non-Jew? Does that mean, let's say, Rachman Litzlan from Kedosha, people that were killed by goyim and their bodies were burned? They take ash, perhaps. But is it permitted lechatchila to take the bone of a human being and to burn it and to use it? So what is this all the issues of cremation? So the basic makar is a pasuk. It's a pasuk in, I think, Parashas Kitzeitse. And Parashas Kitzeitse, if I'm not mistaken, that's where it is that when a person is hung, a person is executed by Beis Din, there's a halacha, he has to be hung. The salisa also alo eitz. And then the pasuk goes on to say, but don't allow him to remain hung overnight. You just hang him for a few minutes. Ki kabor tikberenum. He shall certainly be buried. It's very surprising. This is the only makor in the entire Torah that a human body must be buried. And being that it says in Beloshen Ram, ki kovor tik berenu Beloshen Ram, the repetition, Chazal learned, every single part of the body must be burned. Though even every mashu, the Gemara thinks in Yerushalmi, that even limbs, every single part of a person's body, a person has a limb amputated, well, there's a nafel. Anything that comes from a human body, even a fraction of the human body, requires kivura, because the pasuk says ki kovar tikberenu, it shall certainly be buried. The repetition of the word means in its entirety. This is the primary source from where we learn that al pi halacha a body should be buried and it should not be destroyed. It should not be incinerated. It should not be cremated. Now, besides this pasuk, there are a lot of the mefarshim, they discuss. Even if we would not have a pasuk, we would know that you're not allowed to burn a body for the following reasons. Tchiyas HaMeisim. In Halacha, we find burning represents the concept of obliteration forever. The classic example is Chometz. Erev Pesach, we burn L'chatchil, the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim tells us you have to destroy the Chometz. How do you destroy the Chometz? The Gemara says there are two methods. Either you crumble it and throw it into the wind, or you burn it. And the Gemara says, ideally, the best thing is to burn it. When you burn it, it is completely obliterated forever. Now, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Mechayim Meisim even from ash. Rachman Litzlan, the Holocaust, there were many of the Kedoshim, their bodies were burnt, and we have no doubt there will be tchiyas hameisim. We have emuna pshuta. But if a person lechatchila decides, chooses to burn his own body, he gives instruction that should be burned, or another person burns, at least from his perception, he's making a statement that, as far as I'm concerned, the body is gone forever. There will never be tchiyas hameisim. Tchiyas hameisim is one of the 13 principles of emuna. Ani na emunushim is the last of the 13. Shetiyat tchiyas hameisim meis shiyal rotsim meis kolish baruch hu meis shiyal rotsim meis kolish baruch hu yisbaruch shemo. The salas zichrol al netzach netzachim. Burning the body in the eyes of Chazal is associated with, as if a person is making a statement, I don't believe in tchiyas hameisim. Even though maybe a person will say, well, I believe in tchiyas hameisim, I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu will find my dust and will collect it from the seven seas and will reconstitute my ash and bring back my body. Batloi daitoi etzel koladam. Since from the average person, from their perspective, burning the body is a sin, and the body is gone forever, it will never be restored, it will never come back, it is a statement that I don't believe in tchiyas hameisim, and therefore that's why it's a terrible thing. Forget about what it says in the pasuk, ki kavartik berenu. No one wants to associate with being a koifer, and one of the primary yisedus of amuna in denying tchiyas hameisim. Yeah.
So you have like some organizations in Toronto, Saskatoon, and their advertisements.
Yes.
Where they rescued
a very worthy cause. Yes.
Is that a chiyuv that you might, if that person dafka says I want to be cremated?
A person has limited money to give to tzedakah. L'chaira, there are things that are more important. L'chaira, the living is more important than the debt. That's a general rule. It's more important to support and provide for the living than to worry about people who have made a decision that they want their bodies to be cremated. However, if a person has a lot of extra money sitting around doing nothing, it's a very worthy cause. And a chanami. I don't know more than that. Yeah.
Also covered for the
Abela. But every situation is different. Right now, he's talking particularly where they raised the money in order to prevent the body from being cremated. They argued, I read an interesting article, they argued, someone actually recently put out a book about all of these issues. They argue, this going off the topic a little bit, they argue. People today in America, there's a trend that the Goyim are preferring cremation. They have percent. So they say it's cheaper. So this person who wrote this book, I don't remember his name, he says that it's not cheaper. It's not cheaper. Cremation is very expensive. Check it out. Go online and see how much it costs for cremation, see how much it costs for burial. There's a very large range of burials, of types of burials. Har HaZeisim is prime real estate. Okay, it's going to cost a pretty penny to go to Har HaZeisim and Chevre Kaddish and so on. But then there are ways to be buried al Kever Yisrael, al Kadas Kadin, that even, forget about Goyim, talk about Jews, so they're Goyim. They're very, very cheap. Cremation, there are all different types of services. There are expensive types of cremation, where they take the ash and they scatter it over the seven seas in a fancy earthenware receptacle. Or there's a very cheap form of cremation. So it's expense. In this book, I read a review of the book, he just shows the statistics, he shows the numbers, that that's not an excuse. It's not so cheap. Cremation is not. The next argument the guy made is it's good for the environment, which is the biggest baloney that ever anyone ever said. To do the new cremation, they typically burn the body for up to 2 hours at 2,000 degrees. Okay, do you know how much fuel, how much carbon emissions go into the environment in 2 hours of 2,000 to the temperature of 2,000 degrees? And the body produces toxins. It's a fact. A body produces toxins when it is burnt. And especially if a person is not well, he was ill before he died. And if they have some type of medical procedure where he has different things in his body. So as far as the environment is concerned, it is 100% much better for the environment for the body to be buried. It's completely natural to be buried compared to enormous amount of pollution that goes into cremating a body. So that argument is totally out. Expense is out and environment is out. Now again, going back to halach, Halacha, you don't need nothing more than a pasuk. That's all you need. That's a starting point. Then when you want to go into hashkafa, we have an issue of it's a ki kabar tikberenu. It's in parashas kiseitze, after the parasha of ki salisa usra aloetz. Salisa usra aloetz, le solin nivloso. Do not, you shall bury him. So the starting point is it's a pasuk. The next point is the din of tchias hanesim. Now let's go further in Chazal. Tefillin. What do you do with it, sefer, when tefillin wear out? Tashmishei kedusha. What is the halacha? Tashmishei kedusha. Being that these batim, these hides of an animal, were used to case the house. Hashem, Hashem. Tefillin, there are 21 shemos in tefillin, besides psukim, which are kodesh, the combination of shaliyad, shalavosh, there are 42 shemos. Tashmishei kedusha. The halacha is tashmishei kedusha, something which was used to house, to store kedusha, have to require geniza, cannot be destroyed, cannot be thrown in the garbage. They require burial. If that is true when it comes to the hides of an animal that were used to hold inside just the shemos of a kodesh baruch hu, the shem Hashem, al achas kama v'kama, a million times more, the body, your skin and bones, blood, flesh, sinews, which are used to house the neshama whose kedusha is infinitely that much more greater than even that which is the ultimate shem Hashem. The neshama is a chelik milokam imal. Alachas kam v'kama, does the guf require a geniza? It's no different than a pair of tefillin, an old pair of tefillin, an old pair of ritzuos, which require geniza according to halacha, because it is something Chazal have said, if this was used for kedusha, a davar shebe kedusha has to have dignity, and the dignity is it has to be buried. Likewise, the body has to be buried. Another argument made is, this is a talpi kabbalah, we don't know what this is all about, I really first sort of explained very well for the first time yesterday, is that when the neshama, we don't know how things work, but we are told the neshama does not leave the body in an instant. Acha mea ve'esrim, the mekubalim, Sifrei Kabbalah tell us the neshama gradually leaves the neshama. There's this idea where the neshama hovers in the base of the Ovel, it goes for a year, it goes back and forth. Which means the neshama has an attachment to the guf for a long period of time until it finally is ready to go to Shemayim, to its makom menucha, at least 12 months. There's a tkufa until it's buried, there's a tkufa during the first 3 days, then there are 7 days, there are 30 days, there's a year, and the neshama is connected to the body. And this is to the benefit of the neshama. It's too painful, it's extremely painful for the neshama to quickly leave the guf in an instant. It brings the neshama enormous pain, which we are not familiar with, and we only know about these things from our emunah and what it says in Sifrei Kabbalah. Therefore, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, if a body is burnt, is destroyed, the neshama departs immediately. It has nowhere to anchor itself. The pain of a separation from its chomer, from its matter, from its guf, prematurely, before it has a chance, without going through the natural process of decay that takes place in the ground, is extremely painful for the neshama. So Misaskin, they play up on this, is that, you know, besides halacha, you don't understand that there are neshamas that are part of, that are attached to these bodies. And if these bodies are cremated, do you realize how much pain that neshama is experiencing? That means the neshama has to leave its guf in an instant, because there's no body left anymore. The body has been turned into dust, turned into ash. It doesn't exist anymore. So the neshama has to leave to the next world earlier than it otherwise would have, which is a very painful experience for the neshama.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
When Cain killed the Abel,
yeah,
and the birds came and showed that he
yes.
delivered it, and Hashem told Kiafarato Belafarta Shuf, is not remes to Kevura.
Is that a pasuk? Ki offer ata v'offer ki offer ata v'offer. So there's another source. Your offer ki in a chadam. There's another source. You're right. You're right. Okay. You're right.
Why say birkat kisuyadam v'offer? Because he
showed. That's kisuyadam. That's kisuyadam. Okay. Okay. In a chadam. There are other sources. There's another reason given by the pasukim why al pisvara. It's not your body. a person, the body is on loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayi Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vayibach ba'apav nishmas chayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blew the neshama into the guf. It's Hashem's world. It's none of your business. It's not your makom to take the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to destroy it. It's on loan from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What He gave you, you give back. Hashem gave the offer, came in Ho'adama. This is where it came from. So when the time is over, you return it back where it came from. It's just a logical thing. A person doesn't have a right to destroy neshama. So again, the question then is, what is going on? There's another very interesting question. There's a halacha question. It's ash. Let's say we do have a person, for whatever reason, or even the Holocaust, Rahman al-Stan, where bodies were burned and turned into complete ash. Is it netane? We know that dust, if a body decays, the body certainly is metame ba'oil. And bones, etzem kisar, is metame ba'oil. And dust as well is metame. But what about ash? When a body is reduced to ash, is it still metame? So this is debated by the Possum. Some want to say that since we know that Trias Mason comes from the bone called the luz bone, and the luz bone, Chazal tell us, is indestructible. We don't know what it means exactly, but it's called a bone, and it's indestructible. Fire does not have the power to destroy it. So since in the cremated matter, in that ash, there is somewhere buried within the luz bone, the luz bone itself has the koyach to be metame. So there are poskim that say that yes, ash indeed is metame, and it has tumas sanes with all of the stringencies, just like dust, just like offer is metame. Afer is metame as well. That is a halachic issue. So again, this taisvus is a very, very strange taisvus that says that we take ash from a human being if it would indeed be forbidden. What's difficult about the taisvus is if indeed, first of all, Yitzchak Avinu did not die. Hashem said, "Al tishlach yodcha el hanavi al taslo mu'uma ki atu yadati." We had that word today in Iyov. Al taslo mu'uma. Don't do anything. Mu'uma means even a small thing. Don't even touch his neck. So it's a very bizarre taisvus because Yitzhak, according to the similar saying, the pasuk did not die. He was not burnt. And even if you want to say that this was what his destiny, he was meant to be burnt. But it's not reasonable that Chazal would tell us on a tainis to take ash of a human being, which is something which we are not allowed to do, lechatchil, we're not allowed to produce. Some go so far to say that there is a mistake in the Tosfos. There's a tos hatfus that originally it said etzem echad, to take a bone, and it meant the bone of an animal, of an ayil. The bone of an animal was to be taken and was to be burnt to produce ash, and that's what was supposed to be put on top of the aron as, and somehow the printers in later years, it said etzem aleph with a strechel, and they expanded it to etzem adam because it talks about the zuchus of the akedah. But it was a mistake. Think of Yaakov Emden, the Yavis. Rav Yaakov Emden says it appears to be there was a tohos hadafus in the Tosfos. The Tosfos never meant, because it's very difficult for us to understand this idea. Cremation is only a modern thing. Years ago, it's only in modern. Avodah Zarah. But it wasn't like they burned his possessions. They burned his possessions because no one is right. Once the king dies, no one is fit to use his clothing, his possessions, but not the king himself, not the body himself.
When they burned the children,
yeah, it's a good point. The children of Avodah Zarah. They did it for purposes of Avodah Zarah. But they did not do it for burial. Burial, Adrah, we find by Yosef, the pharaohs, they embalmed. They embalmed the bodies. And, you know, in fact, this is a very interesting shaila. They do it today also. When a person, they transfer a body long distance. They do the ha'apeloch et smutah. Poskim say it's smutah. They inject. They if they have to take a body from one part of the world to another part of the world, and it's a long trip and it's very hot. It's only when it's in the winter, or you're traveling modern means of transportation, they go on a plane, they go 30,000 feet in the air, it's freezing cold, so there's not really that much of a problem of the body decaying prematurely. But but there are situations where the body has to travel for long periods of time in heat, and the body would decay and it would cause a very foul odor, and there will also be health issues. So by the goyim, they inject the body with some type of chemical. They do this. They inject the body with some type of chemical in order to preserve the body. So this question has been asked to modern-day poskim: if a Jewish body has to be transported over a long distance, are they allowed to do this procedure to inject? And they poskim yes.
But I think what they do, they have to drain the blood first.
They first drain the blood.
Yes.
Okay, I'm not sure, but there are situations where pi halacha it's mutar. You're not destroying the body; you're just adding something new. You're adding something additional to the body. You're not taking away from the body. Cremation is destruction. You're not destroying fakir, you're preserving the body. And it's only a temporary preservation until you're able to reach a certain destination, and then these chemicals, they wear off. They wear off, and then the body continues its natural decay. So this indeed is something which is, because these are some of the shalos which come to, okay, we're not going to do now, we'll do another time, but I just wanted to mention, we'll talk another time, is another very important topic from today's daf, we'll do another time, is if chas v'shalom a sefer Torah falls on the floor, are you required to fast? There is no mikar for this anywhere in Chazal. We all know, we've all heard these ideas. You have to fast 40 days. We once spoke about this. You have to fast 40 days. You have to fast 3 fast days. So give tzedakah. Is there any source? There is no source. The best source comes from a Yerushalmi, where it says in the pasuk, "Ora shelo yakim estiviat harazos." Cursed be the person that does not withhold, does not stand up the Sefer Torah, which implies that the Sefer Torah falls down. It's not established, it's not standing, it's on the ground. There's a curse. To take away the curse, there needs to be a fast. But who has to fast? It's the Chazan, the one that does Hagba Galila, or the one that's in charge of the Beis HaKnesses. What about the people in the Beis HaKnesses who saw it fall? It's a very, very weak source. However, the source that is really used is today's daf. Because today it says, what do they do on a fast day? Remember, everyone is fasting. They took the Sefer Torah out into the street. And what does the Gemara say? We have a kli chemda. We have a beautiful thing Hashem gave us. And we take it out into the street to show that because of our sins, it has been disgraced. It has been taken out of its mokom tsanua into a place where it's exposed, it's in public, it has been disgraced. Taking the Sefer Torah out of the Aron HaKodesh into the street is a form of causing the Sefer Torah to fall on the floor. When the Sefer Torah is on the floor, it's in the mokom of bizoya. When the Sefer Torah is taken out of its mokom, its sanua, in the Aron HaKodesh, and taken into the street, it's being disgraced. And why is it being disgraced? It's being disgraced at the time when we are fasting. Due to our sins. That's totally off the charts. The 40 day thing, there's no source for that. That is totally off the charts. But the idea of fasting comes from today's daf. Today's daf is that on a fast day, we acknowledge that we were mevaza the Torah. Because everything depends on the Torah, and if Hashem is causing us to suffer, it must be because we are not fulfilling what it says in the Torah. Why are we not, meaning that if we're not fulfilling what it says in the Torah, we will mevaza the Torah. So instead of being fakers and make believe the Torah is in the Aron HaKodesh with its silver and everything is fine and good, we're not going to be fakers. We're going to show the world that we will mevaza the Sefer Torah. And because we will mevaza the Sefer Torah, indeed we have to fast. That's why we're fasting on the Tainus. That's what's happening in the Gemara, on the Yom Tainus. So incidentally, we learn that if Chas V'Sholom we're in a situation where the Sefer Torah does become disgraced by falling on the floor, we have to follow what it says in Masechet Tainus and Daf Tezayin, and we have to fast. So this is another very powerful yisoid that comes from today's daf.
It should be.